Before our first scripture reading, I do want to acknowledge our guest musicians this morning. I failed to do so earlier. Our guest organist and accompanist, Mark Prater. Mark, we're glad to have you back with us today. And our guest vocalist this morning is Fran Orrick. Thank you for sharing your talents with us this morning. Our first scripture reading comes from Psalm 42. I'll be reading the first 11 verses of this psalm. Some of these verses may be familiar to many of us, so let us listen to them in our time and our place. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I went with the throng and led them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise God, my help and my God. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God.
It comes to us from Luke's Gospel, the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. Listen now for God's Word to and for us. Then they arrived, that was Jesus and the disciples, at the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on the shore, a man from the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had not worn any clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, shouting, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered into him, and they begged him not to order them to go back to the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine, and they were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So Jesus gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd stampeded down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. Well, when the swine herds saw what had happened, they ran off and they told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it told him how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then the whole throng of people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you, So he went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me. Oh Lord, we had come here today not to hear a human word, but to hear a word from you. We thank you for your word, which always reveals something new and oftentimes many new things to each of our hearts and our minds. Open us, O God, to receive the gift that you have for us today. Amen. You know, I just love this story. This story not only appears in Luke, it appears in Mark and in Matthew too. Oh, I'll grant you, it does have some very strange and peculiar elements. We don't talk too much about demons in church today, and we don't talk a whole lot about mental illness or superhuman strength. And when was the last time you saw a whole herd, 2,000 swine or pigs, jump off a cliff? Even so, this story has texture, it has interest, it has intrigue. It's like an accident. You just can't look away. Part of what I love about this story, even with all its peculiarities, is that it speaks to us on several levels. I love it for its historical references. Biblical scholars will be quick to point out that at one level, this story refers to the demonic oppression of the Roman Empire, who occupied at that time all of Israel and much more. Legion, which is the name given to the demoniac, he gives it himself, is likely a not so subtle reference to a Roman legion, which would be 5,000 troops and another group of soldiers of the same number accompanying them. Remember, the pigs were said to rush into formation, down a steep bank into the lake to their own destruction? Not only does this story serve as an allegory foreshadowing the destruction of the systemic oppression of Rome, it also foreshadows what will surely happen to all systems of oppression. Speaking of which, today I would can't help but mention that today is Juneteenth. It's the national holiday, and it has been declared in celebration of the time when those folks who were enslaved in Texas were finally released. Now, that was 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. And so we are reminded in this story that God is at work at all times and in all places in our world, most often through us, to free all people from whatever keeps us living into being the people that God created us to be. Another reason why I love this story is that it is just so honest about human brokenness. It's out there in the center. You cannot sweep it under the rug, and there is no sugarcoating it. It gives us a very clear picture of the messiness of life. When asked his name, the demoniac replied, "Legion." We are told that many demons had entered him. What if we exchange the word brokenness for demons? I think maybe this would feel like we could relate a little bit better. Perhaps it would be more relevant for us today, because the demoniac, no two ways about it, is broken. His life is a mess. He's lost his sanity. He's lost his touch with reality. And perhaps worst of all, he is all alone. It said that people had put him out far away from everybody else because they were afraid of him. They tried to restrain him with chains. And he is just a source of fear for most people. So he's alone. And he no longer has a community. Even though he is able to break the physical chains that bind him, the invisible chains of mental illness he is not able to break. Now, we might not be shackled by lunacy, but there are many other chains that keep us from being the people that God created us to be. Chains of shame, of regret, chains of fear, and then there are chains that are imposed upon us of poverty, perhaps, anxiety, grief, racism, chains of gun violence in our country, greed, entitlement, power, systemic oppression. You know, I could just stand up here and go on and on and on, and I'm sure that you could too. The list doesn't seem to have an end. You might just say that our name could be Legion too, for we as individuals and as a nation and as a world are broken in many ways. Our chains, our brokenness keep us in tombs. And tombs, of course, are places where death resides, places where there is seemingly no hope. A tomb is a place often believed to be beyond God's grace. Whether our tombs are of our own making or whether they are created by circumstances beyond our control, our God is the one who brings order out of chaos. And our God did not create us to live in tombs. After exorcising the demoniac's demons, or in other words, healing his brokenness, the townspeople were utterly amazed. The man who had walked around naked, beating himself with rocks, according to the Gospel of Mark, breaking his chains and howling, he was found to be clothed in his right mind. Jesus had healed the man completely, in mind, body, and spirit. He was so grateful and so awestruck that he wanted to go with Jesus and the disciples. He wanted to follow them, but Jesus said no. He wanted him to go back to his hometown and share what he had experienced with the people there, so they might experience healing through his sharing, and most likely so that he might experience even further healing and be welcomed back into community. There's a Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam, from the Jewish mystical tradition, which means repair the world. The Jewish mystic tradition teaches the legend behind this notion, saying that soon after the world had been created, something happened to shatter the light of the universe into millions of pieces that lodged in all different parts of creation and in human beings, including you and me and everyone else. According to the legend, the highest calling in life is to look for this original light wherever it went into the world. And when we find it, we are to point to it and gather it up. And when we do our part to repair the world. The legend insists that each of us, as flawed as we are, have exactly what's needed to help repair the part of the world that we can see and touch. I love this story. I love this story, and I love the story about the Gerasene demoniac. It provides us political, historical context, and even better, it foreshadows the oppression of all systemic destruction of all systemic oppression. I love this story because it tells the truth about human brokenness and our inability to help ourselves. I love this story because it sends us out as empowered ones to help in the healing of the world. But above all, I love this story because it teaches us who God is and what God does. God is the one who brings order out of chaos. God is the one who is the God of justice, of mercy, and peace, the one who loves us. Just as Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee and came looking for the demoniac and went into the forbidden land of the Gentiles, God is the one who comes and finds us when we are broken and we are lost, and we are unable to help ourselves. Our God is the one who heals us and sets us free. Not only does God come to us in our chaos, and especially in the places in which we have no control, but God has a plan for each of us, designed to heal us and the people and parts of the world that only we can touch. I believe that we are healed each time we participate in helping to heal another person or another part of the creation. God has a plan for each of us. So, people of God, live into hope. Our God is the one who enters into our mess and brings out the best. And God can do it again and again and again. Amen. And may the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.